This podcast is brought to you by Fast Slow Motion, a team of expert consultants that have helped hundreds of growing businesses build scalable systems on the HubSpot and Salesforce platforms. To learn more, visit fastslowmotion.com.
I truly believe everybody in every situation can be a leader, whether it's as a part of business, whether it's a part of life, whether it's a part of family. Everybody has the ability to be a leader and be thinking about it from that perspective to help others.
Welcome to the Fast Slow Motion podcast, where we teach you how to build a business you love while enjoying your life. In our podcast, we talk key learnings, cheat codes, hacks, and principles that have served us on our journey in the hopes that they serve you as well. I'm your host, Sam Donaghy, and today I'm really happy to be joined by Brandon Landes, a client director here at Fast Slow Motion. So, Brandon, how are you doing today, first of all?
I'm doing great, Sam. How about you?
Very good. Very good. I'm really excited to have you here today. And Brandon, please tell us a little bit about, first of all, what you do here at Fast Slow Motion.
Absolutely. Yeah, Sam. So I've been in a couple of roles here. I've been here for about 3 years. I was a marketing cloud director first, helping us set up a portion of the business. And now I'm a client director, and I've been that for about a year and a half. And in that role, I get the privilege of kind of having my hands in a little bit of everything around clients and in the portfolio, where I can help support on the sales side with some solutioning, talking to different businesses and helping bring in potential clients to our portfolio, but then also bringing that through to the implementation of that actual work and delivering those solutions to help people day in and day out. And really what I do is help support our teams. And we've got, as you know, incredibly talented project leaders, consultants, developers, architects, implementation specialists that are just brilliant when it comes to understanding the businesses, understanding the industries, and understanding the solutions that we can put in place for them. So I get the privilege of working with them, you know, week in and week out, day in and day out, to help support the entirety of the business.
Love that. So roughly how many people do you currently lead under you?
Our team right now has about 47 clients within the portfolio, and we've got 25 people on the team currently.
25 people. Okay, great. Brandon, I think today's episode is going to be really great because I think it's going to give our listeners a ton of value and insight into effective leadership. And as we just mentioned, you're a leader here at FSM, but your journey into leadership has been pretty unique. And it also started a lot earlier. Not only have you been a leader in business, but prior to that, you were also a leader in your military career. So let's start at the beginning. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey into the military?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a bit of an odd one. So I'll say I went to Indiana University, started out in business and didn't really know what I wanted to do, right? I went there and started out with, I was going to go be in accounting, I was going to go be in finance, and I was doing some summer classes over the sophomore summer. And I was walking over, you know, through the main streets of Bloomington, Indiana, and realized I needed to change something about my life. I wanted something to be different. I wanted a different purpose, and I was heading a direction that I didn't want to be going in.
Right.
And as I was walking, I walked past a recruiting station and decided to just walk in and joined, kind of on a whim. It was something I had thought about in the past, but just kind of made that choice in that moment. And from that moment forward, my life changed a lot. Went through change to operations management. That accounting and finance didn't seem as applicable at that point. Went into ROTC there at Indiana University, and then went through a series of different training events, moved all over the place, went to airborne school, jumping out of planes, went to air assault school, which is kind of rappelling out of helicopters. And then there's also armor officer basic course is what it was called, where it was cavalry and tanks, because at the beginning I was an armor officer, but I commissioned as a lieutenant in the Army. And then again, it was a whirlwind after that. So kind of an interesting way to back into it, but I got the opportunity into different leadership positions and really found my passion in helping people and leading people and being a part of that team.
Absolutely love that. So do you still start your day at Fast Slow Motion by jumping out of a helicopter and then starting work? Or?
Hey, it's been a long time.
Okay, great. So I know that your journey in the military, it didn't actually stop there, right? You also went to Ranger School. Is that right?
That's correct. Yep.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about Ranger School for those that don't know about it.
It's intended to test you mentally, physically, but then the biggest thing is it's the premier leadership school in the world. And I fully stand by that. From an international standpoint, there's plenty of other militaries that send people. every unit, not just the Army, sends people to Ranger School because it's a great place to learn not only about you, but about leadership, about each other, and the importance and strength of a team all together. It starts out on an individual basis, and going into it, this is what you're kind of worried about. It's similar, I think I've likened it before, to like going into a client call in consulting where you're a little worried about what that call is going to be like. But then once you get on there and you get into the rhythm, you're perfectly fine, right? You're worried about nothing. Everything's okay. Same thing there. The first 3 days, 4 days is called wrap week, and it's very individual focused. A lot of yelling. They start to pull your sleep. They start to pull your food. And they put you through a bunch of physical activities like runs and obstacle courses and water survival training. There's different things that they try to test you with purposely to try to get you to either see if you have the mental fortitude to continue or see if you just don't have enough right now and you're not going to make it. And that's where about 60% of people that drop out in those first 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah. So and that is in Georgia. It's part of the first phase, but that's the individual focused portion of it.
Okay. So, I mean, that's the brutal first phase, and it does sound absolutely brutal. I can't imagine doing that. But you also said that there was three more phases after that. So what are they like?
Yeah. So the first phase, the wrap week is kind of the first part of the first phase overall. It used to be called Darby phase. I think they've adjusted it now.
Right.
And my disclaimer here is this was 14 years ago. So okay. Things definitely probably have changed since then. But the second half of it is where you start to lean further into the importance and development as a team. Right. And they organize you in different squads, which is one of the smaller elements, about 7 to 8 people, up to probably 10 people. And with that, you have organized missions that you're running. You're learning some of the tactics. You're going through different things like peer reviews, so the importance of being a good teammate. You still have the lack of sleep and lack of food. You're still sleeping out in the woods. So there's a lot of stressors that are there. But you're starting to run and be in leadership positions and rotate through some of that grading in those positions, running different coordinated missions as a group. So it starts there. After that, it's kind of crawl, walk, run. The crawl is that phase. Walk would be in Dahlonega, Georgia, which is in the mountains, introduces some different terrain, introduces some new vehicles, like there's some helicopters that are thrown in there. Same thing then going over into the swamp phase, which is in Florida at Eglin Air Force Base. That's where you're really running. You're doing more larger unit type missions. There's things with helicopters. You've got different, more tactical elements that are put in play. And throughout this whole thing, you're still doing the lack of sleep and lack of food as you're out there with your teams. So it kind of grows. And there's still peer reviews throughout the way. So there's a huge element of being a good teammate, but then also learning how to lead in times with all those stressors. So a lot of things to be learned throughout that program.
Wow. Okay. It sounds absolutely incredible. And earlier you described Ranger School as an elite leadership training experience. So I'm pretty curious, how would you say that the Army Rangers specifically define leadership?
That's tough. That's a tough question. I obviously can't speak on behalf of Army Rangers, but I think there's a large element of being able to trust the person next to you and really believe in each other. I think there's transparency and dedication in seeing and believing that somebody is trustworthy and is going to do whatever they can to help support you, just like you would do to help support them. That element of servant leadership is extremely important. Being able to get your hands dirty, not just doing directions, not just telling people what to do, but being there to help them with it and guide them and mentor them. If you can't trust or believe in your leader, things start to deteriorate very quickly. And a lot of those lessons, and I can only speak for Ranger School, those were learned in times of, I'll say, almost shared misery, where yeah. You can trust each other and work toward a common goal and know right. We're all going to do this together.
Yeah, there's a reliance. There's a heavy reliance on each other, right? Because you're all experiencing this insane yep. amount of pressure. you mentioned servant leadership. Facile emotion, we walk that out as well here. I'm interested to hear what your definition of that is.
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't have an exact book answer for you. I've seen multiple elements of what people's interpretations of servant leadership are. I think from my perspective, it is walking the walk with somebody while not doing it for them. So allowing them to grow, I'm here to support you in your path and make sure I'm helping along your development path while not just making it easy for you and becoming a crutch.
Right. Okay. Being alongside them in their journey, being there with them, being present. Love that. Okay. So are there any particular experiences from Ranger School that really stand out to you that actually helped you grow as a leader?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the one that always sticks out, because there's so many ones where there's interesting stories. I think my favorite one and one of the biggest lessons I learned is that leadership really can come from everywhere. In that school, the whole time, nobody has any rank on. Nobody's a certain rank. Right. Everybody's working together regardless of what position you're in, right? So that servant leadership is walking alongside each other, not for somebody. Right. And there's an element of fortiphase where you're pretty emaciated at that point. You're tired, you're hungry, you're cold. And you know, everybody's been helping each other. And I got to a point where I hadn't had my great admission and, I was all ready for it. I was excited to go get it. And all of a sudden my name was called. I don't even know what time, 2-3 in the morning, something along those lines. And I go in to get my mission briefing so I can go help, you know, put that out to the team. I can write the order and I can brief that then to the team. And I completely froze. I had no idea what I was doing. It's complete brain fog. Couldn't think of what the next step was going to be. And a guy was just paying attention, and saw that I needed help. I hadn't asked for help. I probably at that point didn't even know to ask for help. Wow. But he noticed it first and he was proactive and came over and had a conversation with me and worked with me on what those next steps needed to be. Went and grabbed a couple of other people that could also help in that situation as they were eating and kind of divvied it out. And they all helped me put together that plan so that then I could go brief it. And the biggest thing is they didn't do it for me. They helped enable me to do it. So then when it came time to actually go run it, I knew what was happening. Otherwise, I would have been in trouble further down the road. So it really taught me that, you know, that proactive leadership, it's, you know, one, know when to ask for help, right?
Right.
And two, identify something before it's a problem. And what he showed was leaders seeing more and seeing before. He saw it was a problem before it was a problem. And then he came in and supported me to solve the problem in a way that was sustainable. It wasn't just doing it for me. So that was a huge lesson that I learned.
Wow. Absolutely love that. That's incredible. And it's quite a selfless act as well from that individual, right? And he was probably putting the team ahead of his own interests there because some other people might have taken that glory for themselves. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's an element there that I think is why the school is so interesting in what it taught you, because there were elements of peer reviews previously. So it was easy to see who would be there to support the team over themselves, right?
Oh, wow.
And now this is just in a training environment in, you know, a school here in the United States, but that really teaches you to see like how can you become a better leader by becoming a better teammate.
Wow, love it. So Brandon, what are the biggest leadership lessons that you learned from your time in Ranger School?
Yeah, I think I alluded to it a little bit, but leadership can come from everywhere, right? I think it's kind of one of those things that's always said where everybody's a leader, but I truly believe everybody in every situation can be a leader, whether it's as a part of business, whether it's a part of life, whether it's a part of family. Everybody has the ability to be a leader and be thinking about it from that perspective to help others. Another one, big one, I mentioned it without the rank thing, is check your ego at the door. You know, your title doesn't matter. Your position doesn't matter. Your power doesn't matter. You're there to be a part of a team and lead a team and support a team in whatever capacity that is, as long as you're all believing in the same common goal. Those are probably the two, I'd say those are probably the two biggest ones.
So as a leader in the military and obviously now as a leader in the business world, would you say that there's similarities or crossovers in terms of what makes a good leader?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think there's, a good leader helps show that direction and clearly communicate, unlike that, what the end goal is. At the same time, you don't forget the importance of management. And I think a lot of times, we've talked about this before, there's an element of leadership versus management is the conversation, but there's leadership and management, how those coexist. And both are important in any growing organization. And I think the, you know, I've seen good leaders, I've seen bad leaders, and everybody kind of develops their own styles. But there are absolutely parallels when it comes to management, team growth, training, risk management type conversations. All of that has parallels between business and military.
Okay. We've talked about good leadership, but what are the consequences of bad leadership? You know, you spoke earlier about learning from bad leaders as well as good ones. What kind of fallout have you seen from your time, you know, with bad leadership?
We could have a whole conversation of whether or not I've learned more from good leadership or bad leadership. You know, again, you kind of develop your own leadership style, but with bad leadership, it is something that can cripple an organization. If there's no vision, if there's no purpose, like I was talking about earlier, if there's no vision of what are we doing to actually help people or have an impact, if nobody's casting that, then you're a directionless group and you don't have that personal buy-in from the people within the organization to help go and deliver on that, but not just deliver on it, but improve upon it. The other thing that does is then eliminates any sort of feedback loop typically. You know, a lot of bad leaders don't want to take that feedback and try to make those improvements. They just want to deliver on, you know, what their perception could be. So it ends up stymieing growth. It ends up not just for the company or not just for the organization, but for the people. And it also ends up increasing turnover within that organization, which means you're just spinning your wheels.
Wow. Okay. And on the plus side of things, the more positive side of things, in light of all you've learned in your time and the teams that you've led, what does good leadership look like to you?
Again, someone casting the vision. But not just casting the vision, somebody that is willing to help deliver on that vision with the team. So being in there, getting your hands dirty when necessary, when possible, supporting people in their growth, not just focusing on, you know, the revenue growth, but also focusing on the growth of the team and capabilities and the growth in commitment toward that mission of what we're trying to deliver. And then just understanding and casting the vision of the impact. I think that's something that's often overlooked, is keeping that at the forefront of the why behind what we're doing. Good leaders that I've been around, they're consistently surfacing the why. And that helps get the whole group rowing in the same direction and making sure that we're all trying to accomplish the same goal.
What advice would you have for someone who wants to become a great leader? Do you have anything that you want to share?
I'd say take the first step. Right. Take the first step toward trying for it. You know, I think back to like, how did I end up in this spot? And there are a series of like, when nobody else wanted to do it, it's like, well, I'll try it, right? I go back to student government, I go back to, you know, different sports teams. It's like, might as well, I'll try it. And just taking that step, taking that leap, starts to build some confidence in your ability to kind of figure out the unknown. And I think that's probably the next, or the first step. After that, it's just repetition. It's working with people. It's trying to gain that confidence. It's learning that EQ as much as possible. But I think it's just the willingness to try is where it starts.
Brandon, thanks so much for your time today. Thoroughly enjoyed hearing your perspective on leadership. We always like to wrap up each episode with a quote that provides some wisdom on what we've been discussing in the episode. So do you have anything that you'd like to share today?
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Sam. I think there's one that I want to go through, and it's perfect for this when we're talking about the unison of or overlap of management and leadership and how they're both very important. And it's Stephen Covey, and I'll read this really quick. It's effective leadership is putting first things first, and effective management is carrying it out. So that's not saying one or the other. That's not saying that you only need to be a leader or you only need management. It's putting both those together and understanding that leadership is knowing what we should be focused on, and management is effectively carrying that out. And I love how those two work together.
Well, that's it for today's episode. And we're so glad that you could join us to hear Brandon's powerful perspective on leadership as a US Army captain. And we hope, like him, you'll find lessons useful in leveling up as a leader in your own life. So remember to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast platform, or you can find archived episodes at fastslowmotion.com/podcast. We'll be right back.